All right, mate, how you doing? And welcome to the first ever Spencer FC podcast. This is special. This is new for me, so I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be like a weekly thing from now on. If you've somehow found the podcast, you don't know who I am, we can cover that. But I'm pretty sure most of you probably be watching the YouTube channel and you've come over, which is great to have you on board. It's great to be talking into your ears instead of just appearing in your eyes, although we are actually putting the highlights on YouTube, so it doesn't really make a difference. Anyway, I'm talking nonsense. Let's get down to the nuts and bolts of it. I'm not on my own. This isn't just a Spencer FC podcast. We've got a good friend of mine with me today. Hopefully he's going to be a regular, who I've known for a long time, had the privilege of working with, and his name is Mr. Thomas Gray. Thomas, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Spencer. It's an absolute honour being here with you.
The honour is all mine. The honour is all mine.
What's your favourite football memory? Is this the sort of thing we talk
about? You're jumping straight into it.
Yeah, I mean, this is welcome to the Tom Gray podcast.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good. It's good that you've got things to talk about because I haven't prepared a lot. I'm not going to lie to you.
I've got a almost perfect knowledge of the Newcastle 95-96 season. If you ever want to.
Well, that's good to
talk
know.
About that. We could maybe do a segment on that or something.
That'd well, I think we should definitely do at least one segment on that. We've got loads of segments to talk about. Yeah. The reason I've got you in it, Tom. Yeah. It's not even twofold. It's like sevenfold, but yeah. there's a lot of folds.
Yeah.
Basically,
you can't fold more than seven. Do you know that? If it's a bit of
that's
paper.
Actually true. Actually, yeah. It can't. So, if anyone ever says eightfold, they're lying.
Liars.
Yeah. I'd say it's sevenfold then. Yeah, sevenfold. To be generous. No, but in all seriousness, mate, you're always a pleasure to hang out with. But we're going to get to know you throughout today's first episode
sure.
because a lot of the guys we have done stuff together in the past that people mm-hmm. might have seen, but if they haven't had the privilege, they might not know about the phenomenon that is Thomas Gray.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to introduce them to that. But yeah, apart from being a very funny guy and a very very nice guy to hang out with, last time, well, maybe not last time, but a few times ago we were hanging out, you really impressed me with some football knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about this today and you said it may have been a fluke.
Yeah, I mean, I was being humble, but it was a fluke.
We were in a pub.
We were in a pub in Islington, wasn't it?
In Islington. There was an Arsenal, it's a very, very niche quiz.
It was a mid-90s, yeah.
It's a mid-90s Arsenal quiz, right? Yeah. No one really knew what was going
on. Paul Merson and Ian Wright on the front cover, I seem to remember.
And you're not an Arsenal fan.
No.
Newcastle fan.
Yeah.
There wasn't an Arsenal fan in our group,
nope.
So we thought this isn't going to go very far.
Yeah.
And suddenly, out of nowhere, old Tommy Gray starts pulling out some football knowledge from the time when you're only about 7 years old, or something. And
then
it was really impressive.
I think that was when I was most into football. You know, that age when it was. Do you remember sticker books and it was like got need all that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You excelled.
And also the other thing is, I was a Newcastle fan who, quite clearly, as you can tell from my voice, grew up down south.
Yes.
And so I didn't get to go to any games, and so my dad would buy these videos called the black and white videos from the merchandise place in Newcastle. So I just memorise all this stuff.
Right.
And just loved it. Yeah. And well, also I'm super intelligent as well.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah. I mean, we can tell about that. The other thing as well is that I think it'd be amazing if maybe at some point down the line in this podcast we get that quiz.
Yeah,
we find the quiz.
If
anyone listening knows what this quiz is,
we could easily find that if we can remember the pub.
Can find the pub. I used to live right next to it.
Yeah.
I know that place like the back of my hand, mate.
Yeah.
There's loads of stuff we can do on the podcast. I'm actually going to experiment with something now. I've just literally had an idea off the top of my head.
Sure, go for it.
I am going to go onto Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tweet out, send us some football related questions, and we'll
Sick.
Pick some at the end of the recording. We'll pick
okay.
some good ones.
Okay, cool.
So I'll do that right now.
Okay.
Meanwhile, you made a good point. I've got some things I want to do each week with you,
mm-hmm.
talking about what's happened the weekend past and football stuff like that. And obviously, it's going to be football based. I should stress this now. It's a football based podcast, but with the opportunity to go off piste if
to
needs
segue
be.
And yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so we've got some stuff, but because this is the first ever one,
yeah,
we've got so much to catch up on. There's like
That's
27
true,
years of football knowledge coming at you right here.
Yeah,
I can't remember how old you are.
A gentleman doesn't give his age.
Gentleman never tells.
Yeah, never.
Okay, but I just
I'm between 20 and 30.
Okay,
mid-20s. I look between 15 and 19, but I'm between 20 and 30.
I'll take it. Between
I'm 29 on January the 22nd. Please come to my party, and that's an extension to anyone listening.
Between us, we've got over 50 years of football knowledge, mate.
That's true. So, although, really, we don't. We just have 28 and it's shared.
Exactly. Yeah, that's very true as well. And I actually didn't really get into football until I was like 11. So,
oh, really?
No. Yeah. Shocking, I know.
That is really shocking.
Shocking.
But... Oh, that's a typical age, actually, though, isn't it?
I was more of a Warhammer guy before that.
You little nerd. I would have
you bullied
you.
You.
I would have bullied you for your stressful nosebleeds and your...
I used to get stressful nosebleeds.
I did as well, mate.
I once had a nosebleed.
Eczema as well.
Oh, yeah. A bit of eczema. We were very similar lives.
Yeah.
I actually had a very stressful nosebleed mid-assembly. So you're in assembly, they make you stand up, and you're like doing the hymns or whatever. I don't know. I can't remember.
You were cold. You were naked. Were you there? Were you there? One of those like.
That's not a hymn I'm familiar with, mate.
I was cold. I was naked. Were you there? Were you there? Did you not sing this?
What school did you go to?
I went.
If anyone listening knows about that hymn, I think you need to.
And then there's another one. Jet planes meeting in the air to be refueled, and all these things I love so well, so I mustn't fall. Those are, I mean, we can do a separate podcast on school hymns. Maybe we could.
I remember the classics like, you know, I was the lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all.
Wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance. Sorry, you were making a point.
I was. Stressful nosebleed. Right. So basically, for whatever reason, nosebleed comes on mid-assembly. But where do you go? I'm in the middle row.
Swallow.
Can't go left, can't go right. Swallowing's not an option. I'm talking so much blood, it's on the shirt. Ugh. Right? So literally, I just stood in my assembly like this, right? And then, for those of you that can't see me, I had my hand on my nose.
Yeah.
And then, basically, someone, one of the teachers saw me and says, like, take your hand, because I was standing like this. So they thought it looked a bit weird in assembly. Yeah. They told me to take my hand off. I was like, gesturing, trust me, it's not going to be a good look if I do this.
With one hand, though, of course.
I was going, one hand gesture, take the hand away. The nose heavens opened, and it was just absolutely bloodbath, mate.
Makes me feel a bit faint, that.
No.
Gushing amounts of blood. I once stood up in... Actually, no, this isn't true. I've doctored this story for my own... it was a friend who stood...
we're
in assembly, I know, and he stood up and puked. There was a girl called... I remember her name, Georgina Ballum. Blonde girl, lovely hair, and she was brushing... For some reason, girls were allowed to brush their hair in assembly, and he stood up and just puked on her head. And went down her back and everything, and it was one of the most enjoyable sort of 5-minute periods of school for me, I think.
Well,
yeah.
I have heard a myth, and I think it's an urban myth about this. Have you heard about the domino effect in the assembly?
No.
Supposedly, I can't remember where I heard this,
but
supposedly...
Here in assembly.
Someone was sick on someone's back of someone's head. What? And that person then turns around, sees the sick on the shoulder, it makes them be sick, and he goes, da-da-da-da-da-da, and you've got 10 rows of sick.
Yeah. I hope that's real.
I mean, I'd never
want to be involved, but I'd like to see it.
We've definitely concentrated more on vomit than I thought we would.
Sure. You told me in the build, this is mainly football, but also a little bit vomit. I mean,
yeah,
I
feel 10% so far, vomit.
So far, it's been 80% vomit and 20% football.
We need to change that.
Yeah.
Right, so let's change it. So, okay. So, like I said before, we might do these things on a kind of weekly basis going forward about the action that's just happened, because we're coming in sort of mid-season now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about football in a more generic sense. I want to pick your brains a little bit.
Sure.
Let's start off by talking about people that we think, and maybe not the obvious people, that have had good seasons so far. Mainly concentrating on the English Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you pick out? Who do you think's done well? Could be a manager, could be a player, could be whomever.
Somebody who... Okay, well, there's the obvious... Of course, there's the James Vardy's and co.
Absolutely flying called Jamie Vardy.
Flying Jamie Vardy. I would say I have been... I'm a Newcastle fan, of course, and there's not much there to get excited about. But Wijnaldum, I think he's a good player.
You think he's been good?
I don't think he's been good. He is good. I've been to one game at Newcastle. I got the chance to go up. My dad's got a season ticket. I went up to Newcastle Norwich, which was 5-2 and... No, what was it?
You picked a good 6-2 game to go
and scored 5. Yeah, exactly. It was the only win of the season, I think, at home. And he was great. And I think he is great, but I think it's just Newcastle, man. It's the most stressful.
What's going on there? Because
it's been going on for about 5 years. I don't know.
I probably would have put... The next section is going to be about people that are struggling.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it Mug of the Week.
Yes.
And I actually would have put... most of the Newcastle team in that section, because you got smashed by Palace this weekend, of course. What's going on in Newcastle? Because I always saw it as Mike Ashley was the man that was causing the problems, but he went and spent money this summer.
He did.
I think McLaren was a reasonably popular choice as well.
He was, well, yeah.
Or was he not?
No, he was. I think he's one of these guys everyone grumbles about being a good coach, but there's something about him personality-wise which is deficient. I don't think he's a leader of men or anything.
Right.
I don't know what's happened. I think there's something rotten at the core there. And I think I remember when, if you remember a year ago, when Pardew was getting all that stick and there was that Sack Pardew campaign, me and my brother actually set up a website called Back Pardew, and it was slightly tongue-in-cheek, but listing like the guy's credentials and what he'd done at Newcastle, which was impressive. Ashley, yeah, I mean, you can
really got to look at him now.
You can look at it two ways. From a business point of view, he's been quite good and he's balanced the books and he has gone out and spent money this year. I just think the structure... I think Graham Carr, you know, the chief scout...
Alan Carr's dad.
but I think he's overrated. I think he did a good job a few years ago with Demba Ba and Cisse and even Ben Arthur and that lot. But I just...
We signed this Talvin guy.
Tuvin, yeah.
Supposed to be amazing. Tuvin. I've not seen him yet.
Well, what he did is he bought Cabela and then shipped off to Cabela on loan and bought in another Cabela.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be good. I think, you know, these technical French players, these nippy little wingers just need to put on a bit of muscle.
Yeah.
In the Premier League.
My thing with Newcastle, I think, is that if it's happened at West Ham multiple times, if you get relegated under someone's ownership, that happens. You can't avoid it. Yeah. If someone takes you down twice, which could very well happen to you this season, they need to go.
Well, it's the worst possible in the history of the Premier League, the worst season to get relegated.
Because it's the money.
It's that Apple. Is it Apple? No, BT Sport. It's £5.5 billion.
All the money. Yeah, the money's crazy. I mean, that's the same. They say that every year. There'll be a new deal in a few years, and that'll be the worst time to get relegated.
Of course.
It's never good to get relegated.
No.
But no, you're right. It is a really bad season to go down if it was to happen for you guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should talk about the other person you mentioned there, Jamie Vardy. It's impossible not to talk about him now. He has just obviously beaten the Premier League consecutive goals record off Ruud van Nistelrooy.
It just annoys me that he's not more of a kind of character and personality. He seems a bit thick. He wears gel. He's got spiked gelled hair.
Yeah, he's very, very 90s.
He's very 90s. But he's done brilliantly, yeah. But it's one of these things, you look at him, and it's unfair because the guy's obviously good, but I put him in the category of the kind of, you know, when Marcus Stewart at Ipswich had an amazing
season.
Or I'm trying to think of more.
Darren Bent.
Well, Darren Bent had a few in
there. He did prolong it.
Yeah, but he was one of those players as well. These players that kind of, you know, have a great season, then they go to Liverpool for £24 million and then never play, or Tottenham, and then they go out on loan. There's something about him that feels like that could happen.
I feel like Vardy has to be a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah,
I think if he went to United, people even talked about him going to Real Madrid, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I was reading today, Chelsea potentially £30 million.
But he's not going to start up front.
They might
push him out wide like England do, but you're not going to get the same results. He's a fox in the box, no pun intended, the Leicester connection.
Yeah.
But he gets scrappy goals. Doesn't score great goals necessarily. Some of them look quite nice.
Well, he's got pace and he's got that kind of quick whip about his shot. I mean, there's two things. One, he's 28, and so no one's going to invest loads of money in him. Two, he is the product of hard work, and so he's like failed and then done well.
I
think that says something about the character of a person. So he will have another couple of good seasons.
I think so. But I think if I was him, I'd stay at Leicester, get a big contract out of them. If they don't offer that, then do go somewhere. But if he's going to go, it's got to be January or the end of the season because of his age. It has to be soon. But from Leicester's perspective, I imagine you're Leicester chairman right now, and one of the big boys comes in for him in January. What's the minimum you want price wise?
Well, was it Garth? Who's the guy on BBC, Garth Crooks, I think he was saying, you know, Vardy's great, but, you know, would you pay 10 million for him? I was like, well, yeah, I'd definitely pay 10 million for him. But it's also, the point is that you also understand that he's never going to be 30 million. It's that kind of...
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think you would... If you sold him for 15, you'd feel a bit gutted. If you sold him for 20... I don't know. I think it would be...
And the key thing is probably how long his contract's got left. I'm not actually sure on that. But Leicester have got to take that into consideration. They've got to think they're never going to sell him for a massive amount. If a 20 mil, I think a 20 mil bid is respectful to Leicester.
Who would he go to for 20 million? Well, Man United need to
I could see United coming in for him. Maybe Chelsea as well, because I think Mourinho wants to send Falcao back. But I just don't think he should go. I think if he goes anywhere, he needs to be starting up front for them.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do that, why leave Leicester? Because they're flying.
Well, Newcastle had Remy, and, you know, he obviously goes to Chelsea. Demba Ba went to Chelsea.
Yep.
There's lots of examples of these kind of players that go to these bigger clubs. And, you know, you look at it, you think, oh, you mug, you've wasted, you know, we don't realise that they're getting, we do realise, but you don't consider the fact that they're getting this huge pay package, so it's probably don't really care. But someone like Remy, for example, should have played about 100 more games than last year and would have had a record to be proud of at a decent Premiership club. Instead, you go to Chelsea and you're a bit part player. Yeah, you get a Premier League medal or whatever, but, it doesn't look like there's going to be many more of them for Chelsea in the next...
Not this season.
Not short while, anyway.
Not this season, that's for sure. Mm. So, we've covered a few things there. I want to talk about Arsenal for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. One is absolute social media fodder. Because the Arsenal fans, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of you listening right now, you love it. If I talk bad about you, you go mental. If I talk good about you, you think I'm the best man ever born.
Yeah. Do they?
Oh, they just...
Oh, I love Arsenal. I love Arsenal and I love Arsenal fans.
I have to admit... It's very easy to be nice to Arsenal fans because they do just love you if you do it. But we've got to be realistic. We've got to be cynical right now. Not because necessarily their performances, or they did draw with Norwich, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But what is going on in this injury situation? I feel like we talk about it every year.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they get so many players injured? They've lost Cazorla to injury. They've lost Sanchez to injury. Koscielny all got injured yesterday. I don't know how long they're all out for.
Yeah.
But add that to the other injuries they already have. They're going to be lucky if they can field a team next week.
I don't know what it... Because Newcastle had a period... of that for a while, where they were just, or there's still the case where they just get injury after injury, and it was muted that it was because it was in the north of England and it was colder, so training the ground would be harder, and just those conditions aren't whatever. But obviously that's not going to be the case. I don't know, man. Like, hamstrings are so tightly strung. These, like, everyone's so quick and pacey, and even defenders back in the day of Tony Adams and co, you're a beer drinking just hard man at the back of a defence.
Yeah,
you're now an athlete.
Yeah.
And so I think it's something to do with that. And, you know, you wear these light, these really light boots.
I just don't feel like other clubs have the same amount of injuries.
No, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't
feel like United, Chelsea, they don't suffer the same way.
But isn't it just maybe luck? Could just be that it's
could
bad
be.
Luck.
I feel like
but
it could
does
be.
Feel like it happens a lot there.
It's consecutive.
And this, and when you've got the thing as well, Jack Wilshere, you've got a player like that who should be. Who was it that went to? I was reading a thing with Patrick Evra. And he's gone to Juventus and he's saying how it's revolutionised his view on football.
Oh, yeah, he said, and he's become more professional since leaving Man
way
United.
More professional. And he realised when he went to Juventus that he's been allergic to eggs his whole life.
Yes, I
and
saw
he,
that.
Yeah, and he would have eggs every morning before. And it's just amazing that there are these different approaches in sports science, you know, across the continent.
I feel like Italy have always led the way in that, because it was AC Milan, and they've got their Milanello, and they've got their whole science approach. They were the one that they could kind of predict a player's longevity. So they said to Beckham when he played that he could play till 40. They had players like Maldini and whatnot that lasted so long. They've obviously got certain scientific things in place.
Yeah, I mean, they were, like, even back in the day, the late 80s and 90s, they were sort of, you know, before a night before, have a bowl of pasta and some broccoli, don't have... Do you know what I mean? Like, even as basic as that, because I remember watching Stuart Pearce talking about having read it, and, of course, Wenger brought all that sort of stuff over.
Yeah.
But I still think there's a lack of... I don't know. It's just, obviously, there's something not quite as good in our... sports science guys or whatever, and Arsenal. But then I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, either way, regardless of what is causing the injuries, they are going to struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were saying that on the form they had, you know, going into the last few games, they were title contenders, which I would have agreed with.
Yeah.
But if they haven't got any players, they can't contend.
Yeah.
So they've got a problem there. For me to nominate someone as a game changer this weekend, I'm going to say Kevin De Bruyne for Man City. He's got himself a goal. He's got himself an assist in there. Runs the show.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was just a game changer this weekend. I think he was a game changer for their season.
Yeah.
Along with Raheem Sterling, they needed to obviously freshen up their attacking lineup, because Silva and Yaya weren't getting any younger. Nasri's constantly injured. And they brought in, they spent the money. They spent the money, didn't they? But it's working for them.
In my football manager game, I just became Man City manager and bought Pogba. So. It's Man City.
What's the relevance of that?
The relevance of that is that it's De Bruyne at my team is Aguero up front, De Bruyne.
You're just telling me your team?
I'm literally telling you my team. Aguero, De Bruyne, Silva, Nasri, Touré, Pogba. Sick. It's the sickest team.
All right, thanks for sharing. This is the thing about Football Manager, right? I'm glad you said that, because I've got a theory on it, Football Manager is a great, it's a great sort of analogy for life, because... Football Manager, when you're playing it, and as you know, I play it as well, you get so invested in it, and so, like, it's so important to you that you think it's the most important thing. You stay up all night playing it. You want to tell people, like you just did then, I've got this guy. And no one else cares.
Yeah.
But to the person that actually plays, it's so important. Yeah. Whereas something like FIFA, for example, is more of a shared experience, because you play against people and stuff.
It's purely a tool for me to just have an imaginary world.
Exactly.
I sometimes wear, like, a black overcoat pretending I'm a manager.
Do you?
I will then hold press conferences in my head if it's going particularly well.
I will put a tux on or a suit on for the final. That's just polite, isn't it? It's just good manners. Man City had a good week. Liverpool get the cheeky 1-0 win against Swansea. Jurgen Klopp, talk to me about Klopp. What do you think about him?
I like him, obviously. He's a character. He's the sort of guy who I think should be manager of a club. I think teams like Liverpool and Newcastle, and these big, like, northern clubs with a bit of history, are you need tacticians, you need smart guys, but you need charismatic people, which I think McLaren, for example, is not. I know, to bring it back to Newcastle, I think he's not the right man, but he is that. He's got that sort of Keegan quality of, like, you believe in him because you believe, you know. I like him a lot. I don't like his glasses.
You prefer him to go contacts, or just different frames?
I also don't like European managers that wear the baseball caps.
What about Tony Pulis?
Tony Pulis does it, and he gets away with it, I suppose, a little bit, but
got away with it for too long.
For far too long.
Hashtag Pulis caps off.
He did start wearing suits actually for a while, didn't he? When he took a that was Wembley.
I was at West Ham game yesterday with my brother, and he said that he thought, I can't remember the exact thing he said. He said he thought Pulis looked like he should be in an F2 freestyler. That was it. I don't know if you know who the F2 freestylers are, but he was wearing very similar kind of, like.
I'm not, but I laughed as if I did.
I appreciate that.
This is, you know.
I appreciate that. He basically had Reebok Classics on, some cheeky tracky bees.
I mean, these bad boys.
And essentially those, yeah, they were cleaner. Yours are filthy, mate. Lucky this is a podcast, though we are filming it. Anyway, Pulis needs to sort his life out, that's clear.
Yeah.
But he did get a draw against West Ham, which was frustrating for me. Let's talk about that quickly.
How do you feel about that tackle on Payet?
Oh, from Everton game? Well, disgraceful, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
James McCarthy needs to be punished.
How would you severely punish him? Public, a lashing, 40 lashes in public.
Stones,
yeah.
John Stones.
John Stones.
No,
nuts him.
I think, at the end of the day, you got a yellow card for it, but it's always frustrating when your star player gets injured. It happened to be that tackle that caused it. Yeah. The more important thing, I guess, if we're being realistic about it, is not so much that it's annoyed he got injured, it's how crucial he is. It's annoying that we're so reliant on him. Like, I love him. I'm not complaining about him. I want him to play, and I worship the guy. However, when he gets injured, we haven't won since we lost him. Yeah. Like, Olympic Stadium.
Sure.
Quite newsworthy these days. Obviously, the end of the season, West Ham are making the switch.
Yeah.
I'm very happy about that.
Yeah.
As a Newcastle fan, but also a fan of a non-London team,
sure.
Do you care? Or what's your thoughts on it?
Well, as somebody that cares deeply about the east of London economy,
yes,
I believe it's probably going to do an awful lot of good.
Yeah,
I personally wouldn't like my football stadium to be next to a sort of hellish red helter-skelter thing because it looks so bad. And ever since, I never understood it. I don't know what's there.
No, I don't get
the
it.
The mug that like claims
mug of the
that
week.
That's,
is
yeah,
this
he's
guy.
The mug of the week. That guy.
Yeah, what is it?
I don't know, man. It's I guess it's abstract art. That's
you can pay to go
be...
up it, you know. It costs like £30 to go up there.
Mate, you can climb it for free.
It's true. It's got the
It's a climbing frame.
It's got the options.
It's just a huge climbing frame.
If, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, maybe you're not England-based, it's essentially outside of the Olympic Stadium, from a remnant from the Olympics, mm-hmm. is this kind of... I think it was a torch, right? It was like a torch or something?
It was an awful... Yeah, maybe.
It's basically a massive... It looks like it's not finished. It looks like it's like a Meccano jigsaw.
It looks like a melted, painted Eiffel Tower that's twisted at the bottom.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that actually makes it sound quite good, doesn't it?
But if that's what it takes to get a stadium at knockdown price, I'll take it.
Like, first of all, I think you're robbers. I think you've done
robbers or opportunists.
But I think it's a similar thing. I'm not knocking you. Like, well played. You've robbed in daylight and got away with it.
Smashed it. Basically, West Ham have an unbelievable deal, which is that we pay very little, and we have to cover very little of the costs of even the games. But essentially, we're just renting it not for the year, for our match days. So we're renting it 19 times a season.
Oh, right.
And then maybe for the cup games and stuff.
Okay.
It's a 99-year lease. But no, we've got a bright future, West Ham. We just need to concentrate on the present for now.
Yeah. Who are you? Is David Sullivan and...
David Sullivan and David Gold. Yeah.
Now, am I right in thinking they're pornography barons?
I don't know if they both are. I know that one of them was involved in that kind of industry, but they've also got a lot, as with any football club owner, they've got a lot of fingers and a lot of pies. Anne Summers, David Gold owns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the lingerie.
It's the lingerie.
With the rude toys and stuff.
They may do toys. I'm not familiar with the range.
No, I'm not. I accidentally walked into one once.
Yeah, accidentally. Okay, fine. That's fine.
Stuck around for an hour or two.
Why not? Right, I've got a feature for you now, mate. I've got a feature
sure.
for you.
Okay.
It's a test for you. And I know
Excellent.
You like quizzes.
Yeah.
It's called Get Your Stats Out. Okay. I'm going to get some stats out.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you three stats.
Okay.
One of which is real.
Okay.
Two of which are either complete lies or maybe changed them a little bit.
Okay.
You have to pick out the real stat. And
okay.
I guess you have to get the question
Amazing.
Right.
And the prize is?
The prize is you will be the Get Your Stats Out champion.
Okay.
The world champion.
The world champion?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Is that good enough?
I mean, we'll obviously off air. We'll arrange something for next week.
We'll arrange a bit. I'll get some kind of...
Mars bar, something like that. Just something that I can...
Okay.
Just a bit of a...
I'll give you... No, there is literally nothing I have. I'll give you £1.
£1 and your respect.
£1 and my respect, which is similarly worth about the same. Okay. Here's your free stats.
Okay.
Feel free to play along at home. First stat is 4 is a number.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Hutton scored his 4th Premier League own goal this weekend.
Okay.
Tying him with the only other Scottish player to score 4 own goals in the Premier League, Colin Hendry.
Blackburn Ravens.
That's your first stat, yeah. That's a stat.
Okay.
So essentially, is that true? Next stat.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah,
okay,
so
yeah, okay,
one of them is going to be true. Two of them aren't going to be true.
Yeah, got it.
Next one.
Yeah.
Aston Villa, right now, after 14 games, have the joint fewest points of any team in Premier League history. No one, after 14 games, has had less than 5 points ever. Is that true?
That one is true, yeah.
And then the other one, Jamie Vardy, has now scored more consecutive league goals in England than anyone else ever. Is that true? There's your three stats.
Okay, so well, the first one with the own goals.
Yes.
I seem to remember, do you remember Frank Sinclair? He scored a lot of own goals.
He wasn't Scottish, though.
Precisely.
Or was he?
Or was he?
Secretly Scottish.
I mean, it's Frank Sinclair. Hey. No, so that first one, is, well, obviously the third one's true, the Vardy one.
Only one of these three is true.
Read it again. Maybe there's a trick.
You've got to be careful on all of them. I'm trying to slip you up here, mate.
Okay, okay, cool.
They're all very close to the truth. Okay, none of them are outright lies.
Read the Vardy one.
Jamie Vardy has now scored more consecutive league goals in England than anyone else ever.
Yes, that's true.
So you're saying that's the true one?
Consecutive league goals in England than any... in Premier League history or in... Ah, okay.
There's the rub.
I'm guessing that's not true then. I guess it's like there'd have been someone that did that in 55 or something. The second one...
Second one was the Aston Villa one.
Yeah, I think that's true. That's definitely true.
They've currently got 5 points, and then no one after 14 games has ever had less than 5 points.
Well, I know didn't Sunderland go down with 9 once or 12 or something?
Yeah, the lowest ever, I think. Sunderland, I remember Derby had a really bad year once as well.
I know Sunderland got the worst and then broke their own record. they set the game up.
At least they're breaking records.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going with the Villa one?
I think the Villa one is the true one.
Okay, and the other two are fabricated in some way.
I think the first one is fabricated by... I think it wasn't Colin Hendry was the
person. Oh, okay, so you're giving me more detail. I like that about you.
So I think the first one was... I think the Scot that scored the most own goals prior to Alan Hutton was not Colin Hendry. It would have been someone else.
Okay.
So I think that's where that one's...
All right. I'll reveal the answer to you now.
Yeah.
The Jamie Vardy.
Yeah.
I said Jamie Vardy has now scored more consecutive league goals in England than anyone else. You got onto it quite quickly once you figured out the way the game works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He has scored the most consecutive Premier League goals in England, but not the most in England ever. Alan Hutton. Basically, you got it right.
Sweet.
Aston Villa was correct. No one. It's quite alarming, really. No one is. I thought someone would be on 0 points still at this point, but no one has ever had less than 5 points after 14 games. In terms of the Alan Hutton one, you were right to say it was wrong, but you were wrong in why it was wrong. Right. I said he's now scored 4 Premier League own goals, joint with the only other Scottish player to have 4, Colin Hendry. Colin Hendry did have 4 own goals, but Alan Hutton actually just scored his 3rd own goal.
Oh, you cheeky
very
bug.
Difficult to know it, but you managed to get that right, so well done. You
Thank
are the
you
official
much.
Get Your Stats Out champion.
Yes.
And I owe you £1 sterling. £1 Raheem.
£1 Raheem Sterling.
Okay, so we'll sort that out a later date.
Yeah, some sort of certificate would be good.
I can look at that.
Yeah.
I can look at that for you. What I want to do now with you, Tom.
Sure.
Because we've talked a little bit now.
We have.
But we haven't really got to the nuts and bolts of the man, the myth, the legend that is Thomas Gray.
Sure.
And as I said earlier, some of you guys might not be familiar with Tom Gray's work. Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is a new feature. What I'm very good at, as you'll learn throughout this process, is I'm very, very good at coming up with titles.
Already knew it, mate.
For format points. The actual bit after that is where I struggle. Like what you do with the title.
Tell them your brilliant one.
Okay. I came up with... 50 Shades of Thomas Gray, where we find out more about you.
Sure.
Originally, it was going to be 50 facts, so I was going to ask you 50 questions. Now, I realise that's a lot of facts. No one needs 50 facts.
I don't think I've got 50 facts.
There's too many.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to just condense it to like 5.
5, yeah.
But we're going to use the title 50 Shades of Thomas Gray because it works.
Yeah, it does work, man.
So I want to find out more about you. It's very low-key. It's very informal. I'm just going to ask you 5 questions. First question for you, Tom. How are things?
I'm doing all right. I'm fine. Which stands for feeling inadequate, needing encouragement, Spencer. but obviously, I put on a front and a brave face and deal with things from day to day. But yes, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yeah, I'm great, mate. I'm great. I'm enjoying this.
I'm enjoying it. I think it's going well.
But no, okay, so you're fine. That's good.
Yeah.
Second question.
Yeah.
Tell me about something I know about you. I think it's really interesting that you... Definitely, in my opinion, wouldn't have guessed if you'd seen your videos on YouTube, for example, or seen you do some comedy, is that you actually have a background in education.
I was a teacher, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a teacher briefly for a year. No, for a year and a half.
History, wasn't it?
History, yeah. I also taught English for a little bit, and it was really good. I enjoyed it, but I obviously do YouTube videos, a bit like you.
Yeah.
But, sort of character comedy things, and they leaked in the school, and
Oh, it's fine. It just, but then, you know, you sort of lose your authority with a kid when you're trying to tell them off. And I was bad at that anyway. Anyone that's naughty, I was just, I couldn't, you know, I just smile because it felt like it was 2 years prior and I was doing the same thing as a little boy.
Yeah.
But, I remember having parents' evening and just having to talk about myself to these parents instead of their kids because of these.
They found out there was a video.
They found out these videos, yeah. And so I kind of just lost all authority, really.
Does that make your position untenable?
It made it. No, it was actually fine. It really wasn't a problem. But, you know, I basically did it because I finished university and knew I wanted to do a sort of go into a sort of career that is very unpredictable. So I needed something to do. So I taught around the football team.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
What sort of ratio? What sort of win ratio did you have?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you an interesting story. I set up an after-school football club, and it was for the 11 to 13-year-olds, year 17 and 9. And after the first session, I got a letter from a parent saying, "Dear Mr. Gray, you know, thank you so much for sort of putting on this after-school club. We understand, you know, that it's good of you to, you know, not, you don't have to do this, and the kids love it. Unfortunately, my son doesn't appreciate having volleys smashed in over his head." On repeat.
So you're just lining them up. Basically, football practice for you.
We played 5-a-side. We won 3-2. I scored the winner in the last minute, and we played full size goals. These kids were about 4 foot.
Oh my god, it was
sad.
But you basically wanted to play football. You didn't have anyone to play with, so you got some kids to play, and you smashed the balls.
Some kids
at them.
To play, and then
that is why you. It's good that you're no longer in teaching.
It is, yeah.
But no, that's good. I see your football passion came through in it as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's two. We've got two questions down. Sure. Third question, but in case you hadn't realised, I'm making these up as I go along.
I did realise, I was going to comment on it. But
third question, I think a lot of people will be asking it. Yeah. How does a Southern man end up supporting Newcastle?
So we moved down south when I was three. I was actually born in Middlesbrough.
Okay, so you're from that land.
Yeah, my family are from Newcastle, yeah, and from Gosforth and in Newcastle. And my mum's actually from Chelmsford, but she moved up there.
Where I'm from.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure we talked about that before, to be fair.
Yeah, my mum must have done, yeah.
Chelmsford through and through, mate. okay, so sorry, go on.
Oh, yeah, and then so when we were three... When we were three, when I was three, we moved to Suffolk.
We had to have a family of 3 year olds.
yeah, we were all three. We moved to Suffolk, and so I grew up going to watch Ipswich Town. I had a season ticket to Ipswich Town for 6 years when we were in the old First Division, and it was fine. And I genuinely could support Ipswich as much as I did Newcastle. And then Ipswich Town went up, and it was that season where they finished fifth, and it was Marcus. It was Marcus Stewart and Darren Bent, Marcus Bent, all those kind of players, Matty Holland,
yeah,
and. I remember going to watch the game against Newcastle. At this point, like in my head, I was 13, I think, at the time, 12. I'd decided I was an Ipswich fan.
Right.
And so I went to the game, and it was me, my dad, and my brother. And Nobby Solano scored in the first minute. And my dad, amongst this group of people that we've been sat with for 4 or 5 years, who just assume we're Ipswich fans, gets up and starts. It's exaggerated as well. Like, my dad doesn't celebrate this much. He was trying to make a point.
Yeah.
Like, slapping his knee. And it was never really the same after that. We didn't quite get on with the... little bunch of people around.
Oh, so you almost were forced into supporting Newcastle because the Ipswich fans disowned you.
I suppose so. But also, it was a short-lived, like, it was when Ipswich were doing amazingly well.
Right.
And I couldn't go to watch Newcastle games because it's so far away. And,
From that point on, you decided to devote it to Newcastle?
From that point on, yeah. Well, it's just one of these things, isn't it? You've got to support your... given in life. It's my dad's team.
Well, I mean, I'm with you on that. That's how I got to be a West Ham fan. And also, the difference between West Ham and Newcastle is we've actually had the joy... And I've had the joy personally of seeing us win 2 playoffs.
Of course.
And we also had an FA Cup final, which we lost. You've never won anything. When you guys came up, did you win the league?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I was living in China then, you know, so I didn't actually follow any of that because you couldn't get on the internet where I was. And so you could, like, occasionally, but... just didn't follow that championship season at all. But we finished top. It was, what's his name? Chris Hughton was...
But it's actually... I actually think it's better to win the playoff, if you can, because you get the final and you get the money. Yeah, so you've never had... As a Newcastle fan, you've never tasted victory of any kind.
My dad's 56, maybe.
It amazes me, that, because Newcastle are a big club. I've been up there. I've seen the fans. I went to Newcastle Sunderland once.
I don't know why no one... Yeah.
Why has it not happened? Why has it not clicked? You had a great time when you had Shearer... Remember when you had Kluivert? You're in the Champions League.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great. To be fair, you've had Champions League a couple of times.
No, we had, like, from, 95, 96 under Keegan, we had those years. 97 under Dalglish was second again. And then we had that Bobby Robson post 2000, I think it was 2000, no, 99 he came. First game, Sheffield Wednesday, we won at 8-0. Shearer got 5. And then we just did, you know, we were playing, I think we beat Inter Milan at the San Siro. Once Shearer got 2 goals or something. We were a big team. We were that kind of top. You know how Tottenham for a while,
they had
kind
it.
Of pushing for the fourth thing. We were with them.
So you've had a few trials and tribulations as a Newcastle fan.
Yeah.
Question number four. You touched on it. Why are we living in China?
I was teaching English.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a pretty simple
for
5 months,
and then I had to leave because HSBC had discovered that I'd taken a student loan about 4 years earlier and never paid it back. And so threatened to like knock on my parents' door down. I ended up getting a flight back and being owed £1,000 from a school out there. And the guy was like, yeah, of course, just I'll wire you the money. And of course, I then travelled 10,000 miles away from him and never saw a penny of it.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't remember my point.
You should ask
there.
For that. You should try
should,
and get that.
I should, shouldn't I?
So basically, you left China earlier than you would have liked to.
I didn't like any of my time in China.
You hated it.
I was forced into doing it. And then I came back, and as I was flying back, I realised I didn't have an English phone, and I hadn't arranged for anyone to pick me up. And so I slept rough in King's Cross Station.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I had a bag full of stuff. And I remember at one point taking socks out of my bag, because it was freezing, it was December, putting it on my hands, because I was waiting for my mum to come down and pick. It was pathetic. The whole thing was pathetic. And I was biting holes through my socks to make finger things. And this guy, I remember his name, Geordie Cox, who was I used to help with at university. And he's obviously, like, at this point now, a lawyer or something. So he's sort of, you know, sauntering on down in this sweet suit. And I catch his eye, and I'm there just trying to bite holes in socks to make to make gloves.
How times have changed.
But I panicked. And I was like, oh, hey, man, yeah, I'm homeless. Thinking he'd like get it. And he's just, oh, mate, really, really sorry.
Did he give you a quid?
No, walked off. That's what I didn't like about that. That he genuinely thought I was homeless and left me to it.
That's not a real friend, mate.
That isn't, no.
Okay, and final question then on 50/5 Shades of Thomas Gray. Is what are you up to now, apart from this podcast? What keeps you busy?
Doing this, I'm actually working on a TV show for the BBC, BBC
Lovely.
3. We're making a series, which is exciting.
Very
so going
good.
Up to Newcastle to film, I don't know which episode it'll be, but one of the episodes on Friday.
Amazing.
And then just that, man.
Sweet.
And then this little thing with you.
This will be fun.
Yeah.
We are going to expand it as well. So in future episodes, we're going to get maybe a third person to come down and get some guests, get some sure. of your favourite YouTube guys, get some of people from football that we know and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting. I should probably see what some people have tweeted us, mate.
It'd be so funny if no one's tweeted anything.
I mean, I hope that's not the case.
Mm.
Okay, let's have a look. So, who will be top four this season? This is from Luke Pattenden. He wants to know who will be top four this season. What do you think?
I reckon Tottenham and Liverpool will be in the top four. That I've said it. Tottenham and Liverpool will be in the top four. I reckon
really?
Both Manchester teams, Tottenham and Liverpool.
No Arsenal.
No Arsenal.
You don't because the injuries.
Potentially because I like Arsenal. I think they're good, but I think Tottenham are looking quietly confident, and I like Pochettino.
I think you're onto something there. I don't think they're both going to do it. I think it'll be one of the two.
Well, if you look at it, Liverpool are only four or five points off top. I'm not suggesting Liverpool are going
to
win it, but
it's hard to pick this
year. Tight.
And don't get me wrong, I get why we're doing it, but we're not even considering Chelsea right now.
No, yeah, exactly.
Who could come back and
well,
it could
what
make
I mean.
It interesting.
It's the first time in a while where it's been a little bit, you know, if Man United won the league this year, it'd be kind of a shock. It'd be not a shock, but it'd be impressive, which is a strange thing to think,
yeah.
considering they won it throughout the entirety of our childhood.
So yeah, it's crazy. Times have changed.
Yeah, times have changed.
Balsa has asked us, who do you think will win the Ballon d'Or? It's usually a two-horse race. I think it's still a two-horse race. But which horse will win the race?
Well, I don't think it is a two-horse race. I think Neymar's.
You getting, think he's actually?
I don't think he'll win it, but I think he's. I think in the next few years
he'll take over the race. I think Danny Bowers wants to know our thoughts on England's chances at the Euros, and if not them, who do we think will win it?
I don't know, man. I got really excited about the last. What was it 2014?
You're like, still getting excited.
Well,
about
like a mug.
You've not learned yet.
No, you never get excited. Then it starts, and you're like, as it approaches
the media buzz.
Like, well, actually, do you know what? Actually, if you think about it, like we're really, you know, because Sterling's a really. I don't know. I've got no idea. I think all the players that we've got, if they're played in the right way and they're all sort of peak at the right time, they're not. Because what happens as well is often everyone's knackered. So I would like to see England do well, obviously. But to be honest, I reckon Germany will just win it again.
And Germany are the favourites. I think that, well, they didn't have the best qualifying.
No, but it doesn't need to.
Yeah, we always have good qualifying
that's
often.
The difference.
Apart from
these clubs, these teams realise they don't need to do that.
They try things.
They do it at the when it counts. Whereas England sort of, you know, win a friendly against Spain and then start talking about how we compete with the best.
France, I think France, a lot of people are looking at France. The danger is Benzema is probably not going to be in the squad because of this whole sex tape thing. You know about this?
Yeah, I haven't really followed it.
He basically cannot be in the same place as Valbuena, legally, until the court case is finished. So either the court case has to finish before the Euros or Valbuena has to not get picked.
So
Benzema
they,
to go.
Did they both do something?
No, Valbuena is the innocent party. He's been blackmailed about a sex tape. So if they didn't pick him to have Benzema, that would be quite unfair on the guy.
Yeah, it would, yeah.
But he's not Benzema. He's not as crucial to them as Benzema is. Without Benzema, it's Giroud and Martial. That's their options. Lacazette?
Yeah, Lacazette.
Griezmann? They've got a great team, don't get me wrong. I think without Benzema, they should still be considered a favourite. Do you think Leicester are able to achieve top four? Now, we sort of covered this because you said the top four, you thought we were going to do it. But
I think they're capable, yes. They are, as I say, when I used to go watch those Ipswich games, Ipswich just went on this incredible... Ipswich was second in the league until about the last four games of the season and finished fifth, and it was a bit of a disappointing fall, you know, and fifth was like... It felt like that was not very good. Leicester on the same thing, where it's like a wave of confidence... At the same time as being very well organised with very good players, I think. And that might be the difference, is that there does seem to be some genuine quality there with Mahrez and co. I reckon they could do it. It'd be surprising. It'd be great if they did. If they did, it would be far too early for them. Leicester in the Champions League is ridiculous.
Well, if they're in the Champions League, they'd be getting relegated next year, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean,
unless they get significant investment. But no, it's a great journey, and it will tail off. But they're doing well. They're drawing against United. The only time they've lost this season was against Arsenal.
Yeah.
And we're yet to see how they do against the other big teams when they've played Arsenal and Man United. But if they can not drop points against them, they've got every chance. Because when they play a lesser team, they feel as good as them.
They just dominate.
They smashed Newcastle. They did a job on us at our place. So, yeah, no, we'll see what happens with the Leicester journey. we're going to wrap up the first podcast there. It's been an experimental broadcast, you say? Broadcast today. I hope you guys have enjoyed it, having the option to kind of... listen on the way to work or uni or school or what have you. We have to say a big thank you to DreamTeamFC.com, who are the sponsors of the podcast. And I've also got a blog on there now. It's obviously a great football website. So if you want to check it out, there'll be a link in the description on YouTube. I'm going to do a video sort of highlighting the podcast, but I'm also going to appear on their podcast a little bit as well. So make sure you check out DreamTeamFC.com to see a lot of football stuff as well as my own blog. Tom Gray, have you enjoyed it?
I actually have enjoyed it a bit too much.
Feel free to drop me or Tom a tweet with how you think we can maybe
at
improve
Thomas
this. Yeah.
James Gray.
At
that's
Thomas
G-R-A-Y.
James Gray.
G-R-A-Y. G-R-A-Y.
Yes, no E. Yeah, correct.
No E. It's the American... it's actually Scottish. I think it's a sort of clan or something. Anyway, continue.
For some reason, I thought you were spelling James then in a really weird way. I was like, what?
J-A-M-A-E-S.
No, Thomas James Gray. It's Twitter, Gray with an A. You know mine, at Spencer Owen. And tweet us, let us know what you thought of the first podcast, what you'd like to see on here, who you'd like to see on as a third person as well. I want to get some guests on here, chat to some other people. Mm-hmm. Today was much about getting you guys familiar with Tom as well, because he's going to be a regular. So we wanted to make sure you're comfortable in his presence, you know. I think we've done that. I think we've done the 50 Shades of Grey.
Fingers crossed,
Everyone knows what you're about now, and we can move on from here. But yeah, hope you've enjoyed it, guys. Thanks to DreamTeamFC.com. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss the future Spencer FC podcasts. But until next time, I'll see you when you're older. Don't go changing.
Bye.